Hello, legendary human. Yes, I'm talking to you. Love the show? Do you consider yourself a conscious or wellness professional, business expert, or even startup founder on a mission to make a positive impact on yourself and the world? Why not joining hundreds of people already part of the Creative Impact Collective for monthly masterminds, micro challenges, workshops, and so much more? The online world can be beautiful, but it can also feel lonely. We all grew through moments of struggle and confusion. And this is why we believe that when we come together, we can amplify our impact tenfold and grow stronger together. We want to help you make a positive impact in the world with your message, to give you the work and the visibility that it deserves. We want you to amplify your business online, so each month we will provide you with tools, accountability, and a safe place to come together to grow your brand and celebrate your success and others. Find out more about how you can get involved in the show notes of this episode or head to creativeimpact.group/collective. We cannot wait to welcome you. Hello and welcome to Make an Impact Show, a podcast run by Creative Impact Co. Our mission is to help creatives grow their business, hone their marketing, and share their stories via outstanding content. Hello team and welcome back to the Make an Impact Show. My name is Fab and I'm your host and founder of Creative Impact. And we are back with a fantastical interview today. Excuse me, I should say, because today we are talking to a real life superhero. And trust me, I've met some and I know Glenn is one of them. And Glenn Higgins, and with him we're going to talk about using his passion for fitness and his passion for film, superheroes and cosplays to actually start an incredible new project known as Get Kids Moving, which is now a YouTube channel with hundreds of thousands of subscribers and also kids, PE teachers, parents singing their praises and coming along and working out together with Harry Potter, Luke Skywalker, and pretty much the whole Marvel Universe. If it sounds bonkers and amazing at the same time, trust me, it is. Just go to Glenn's Instagram or the Get Kids Moving Instagram to see more about it. It's unbelievable. And when you look at the videos, you will think, oh my God, there's going to be a massive production team. And really what we talk about today in the interview is actually, you know, doing a lot of these things yourself and just really putting your passion into a project and having to combine and balance wanting things to be perfect and things to be great, but also then outsourcing some of the elements of such an incredible project. So you will definitely learn a lot about what happens behind the scenes and why the Grinch outfit is probably one of the most terrible outfits to wear when you're working out. If you don't know Glenn, then let me introduce him for you before we jump on today's episode. Glenn is indeed, for his day job, he is a personal trainer. And he is a fitness enthusiast and a personal trainer based in the UK, in Surrey. And he's been working with clients including ex-Scottish international rugby player Tom Evans and singer Nicole Scherzinger. Alongside training clients on a daily basis, Glenn has also created the ultimate destination for kids fitness with the YouTube channel that we mentioned, Get Kids Moving. So his main objective is to help put fun back into fitness and help kids engage and enjoy exercise while they train alongside their favorite superheroes, film icons, and idols. And yes, it's as good as it sounds. So I really hope you're going to enjoy today's episode. We're going to talk about the project, but as much as that, we're going to talk about combining your passions with your skills, learning new things as you tap into your creativity, and even outsourcing and delegating when growing a project. I hope you're going to love this episode. I cannot wait for you to meet Glenn. So let's go and fly high up into the sky like Superman. Even if probably you'd say I'm more like a Wonder Woman, right? Even if, in total honesty, I dig for Black Widow. So I'm going to jump and leap right into the episode with you. You put yourself into your favorite superhero ever. Let's do this. Let's catch up with Glenn. And we're on. We're on the recording ship. We're talking about like ebbing and flowing. So I feel there's going to be a nautical theme today. How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm good. I'm good. Very good. Yeah. And how about yourself? Are you good?
I am very excited to chat to you, and not just because of the main theme of this conversation, obviously what you're doing with Get Kids Moving, but also because I'm always excited to ask my icebreaker questions, but I really want to know what you're going to say, Glenn.
I feel a little bit scared about this icebreaker question.
I swear they're fine. Actually, I'm going to ask you the first one and you'll see how easy to answer they are.
Okay.
Actually, maybe the first one doesn't help, but let's just roll with it. I want to know, Glenn, a trivia category you'd be really good at and why? I think I know it, but...
Well, it's always film. It's always film, or I mean, you know, if you're going to be, if we're going to narrow it down film wise, I mean, superhero, but I mean, you're going to get this. It's superheroes. Superheroes are my thing, you know. If I'm not, but yeah, it's got to be films. I mean, that's my category. I think, and obviously, being what I do, as you know, superheroes would be my thing that I should be getting them all right on. Yeah.
Then my follow-up question, which is not an icebreaker question, is more selfishly out of curiosity. Favorite superhero? Everybody wants to know now.
Right. Well, if it's Marvel, I'm going to say Captain America. If it's DC, it's Batman. And they're very, and to be fair as well, Captain America, you've got a very light, you know, kind of wholesome kind of all-American guy there, and then you've got a very darker, gritty side with Batman as well. So I like the two.
I like it. It's like yin and yang from two different sort of universes.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Well, again, I was kind of expecting that, and I was quite excited as well to see if I was going to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't, which I'm quite happy about. And now this is more of a down to earth. Maybe I'm going to ask you what your first job was. Maybe it was being a superhero, but again, we'll see. But yeah, what was the first job you had and what did you learn from it, Glenn?
So the first job, I guess, was working in a clothing shop. But I would say, so I did have a career before being a PT and then going on to what I do with the kids fitness, which was, I was actually in a boy band, which you may not know. This is a while ago as well. So don't try and search it. All right. I could see your hands tapping away. And I was like, no. So, but that was, and so basically I spent a good part of my sort of 20s in the kind of performing arena, doing music and stuff like that. So I think definitely, I don't know about the clothing shop, whether I learned a huge amount, I guess being with customers and, you know, and stuff like that, but definitely from the being in the boy band, it was just just have it like a, getting that kind of performance background was amazing. And I think that even going into personal training and kind of life experience as well, being we lived in Germany and we sort of traveled and stuff like that, so it gave me a real life experience, and I sort of take that into my personal training. But and then obviously that's then gone into my Get Kids Moving side of things, where again it is performing once again. So I guess I tried to get away from it. I kind of just fell or got pulled back into it, maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
I love this so much. And again, I was literally like, oh my God, I'm going to find it now.
Yeah.
Tell it. And I can see that. And I understand that, as you say, it's just the different levels of performing. And also there's an element of the motivational side of it, as actually obviously motivating different ways, whether it's kids, whether it's clients, to actually get to do the work for themselves, because it's obviously you are showing them what to do, or you're instructing them, whichever type of support you're giving. But then it's almost like, then how do you inspire them to take the next step and actually follow through and either make it fun or make it enjoyable or make it entertaining, which I know is a big part of what you do. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing. I mean, for me, my personal training approach is obviously you know, I love the learning for myself about personal training, everything to go with it, like getting the knowledge of it. But a big part of it is making it fun for all of my clients, and just making it relatable to everyday life as well. You know, it's not just getting here, do this, you know, how is it going to affect, how can you take this into your sort of everyday life and stuff like that. And that, whether that's with movement or nutrition, whatever, but mainly it's, I mean, we have such a laugh in our sessions that it's just, yeah, it's just a real big important thing for me as well. And yeah, as long as everyone's having fun, then, and me as well, obviously, I want to have fun while I'm doing it, you know, but.
I guess that ties in with my last icebreaker question in a way, because it was about what does make an impact, obviously the name of the show, mean to you? If you would say making an impact, what does that mean to you, Glenn, and the work you do?
Well, making an impact, I mean, for me, it's I guess when it, as I've moved from my sort of personal training one-to-one side of things, obviously I love to make an impact one-to-one on a personal level with my clients, but it's now traveled into that, the Get Kids Moving YouTube channel, where it's reaching so many more people, and it's sort of, you know, all over the world now. It's kind of, I see kids working out to my you know, Star Wars workouts and superhero workouts and stuff like that, and it's getting emails from parents, or getting emails from teachers saying, you know, oh my god, like I had a class full of kids that just didn't want to do anything, they didn't want to do PE, they hated it, we put one of your videos on and they just got up and started doing it and were just totally engaged with it. And it was, you know, it's amazing for me to be able to make an impact on the teachers' classes, but also the kids, you know, that are not really interested in it. And it's just giving them something that they can engage with more than, you know, what was being offered there, you know. And I think it's, for me, making an impact like that is just, wow, I'm so proud of it. You know, it's amazing.
I think this is another question that is going to come from a lot of people after hearing this, and is, take us back to the origin story. Actually, superheroes, origin stories. We want to know that. I think the origin story would be great, because it's such a great concept and it combines, as you said, your passions and some of the skills that you have. But also, was there a spark moment? Was there, you know, like a topical origin moment? Or was it more the progression of different things you tried when it came to, you know, Get Kids Moving and the journey from it?
So, I mean, I guess it was, I've always been into, as I said, like into films and movies and special effects and stuff like that. So, and I've always liked dabbling in sort of editing and filming and stuff like that. So I knew that I could create a lightsaber effect, right? So there was a new Star Wars film coming out. This was The Force Awakens that was coming out, the first of the newer ones. And I was like, do you know what? That'd be really cool to put something on like YouTube that no one's, I didn't see anyone doing this. And I was like, I can make a lightsaber. I could make a workout out of this. So I put it together, put it on there as a bit of fun, I guess, to begin with. And it was like, you know, just think it would be quite cool, a bit different. I got a really good response from it. But then it kind of like all of a sudden, I kept seeing on Twitter and Instagram, all these kids in classes doing this, you know the foam noodles that they have, right? So there's hundreds of schools and stuff like with these, all these foam noodles, like doing my lightsaber workout. And then I started to get more and more emails from people and teachers saying, oh, like my kids love it, have you got any more like workouts that we can do that you might think they'd be able to do? And so then from there I just kind of was like, okay, well, there could be something in this. And I just sort of started to then pick different characters I think that, you know, that kids would like, and different, you know, sort of like you've got your Star Wars, you've got your superheroes and stuff like that. And I just started making these videos, and started also, I teach myself all the like special effects and stuff like that. I was just sort of watching YouTube videos and teaching myself how to do it, and like just got more and more into that. And then it came down to making costumes that, and I started learning how to do stuff like that, and then got more and more into that. And yeah, it's just become this sort of really amazing kind of thing for me to be able to sort of give to the kids, basically. So, yeah.
I want to ask you now, what was out of these different skills, as you said, there were different things that you learned in order to, obviously, like from production level to actually the realism and the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
What was one of the skills that maybe you were not expecting to be so hard or challenging, or maybe that really kind of pushed you when it comes to these different things that you wanted to learn and you learned in order to kind of make the videos better and stand out?
I think it's the editing side of it, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's I quite like now, like if there's something I don't know what to do, or there's something that I want to make happen, like, I don't know, fire come from my eyes or something, right? If there's, as you do, you know, you always need to put that in a video. If I don't know how to do it and I'm stumped, I do like the process of right, how am I going to do this? And trying to work it out and take bits from YouTube and kind of learn and stuff. But I love that figuring out of the process of editing for me. And it's something that I used to love doing, but obviously getting into personal training and stuff like that, obviously that's my day job. I love that, you know, I absolutely love it, but it's nice. I think I definitely miss having creativity in my life. So I think this side of it definitely, like, because it's working, obviously it's making these videos, but it's downtime for me as well, because I absolutely love the process of kind of editing and being creative once again. And so I would say the editing, but then also something that surprised me of how much I loved doing is actually either sort of upgrading or actually making from scratch the outfits. Like that was something I never did. I mean, I always wanted to, I was like, but I just, yeah, it was something I never did. And I've got really into it and learned things and made outfits that I never even thought I'd even get near. So yeah, all of those sorts of, I think it's the creativity I need in my life. And I think sometimes that if you're just carrying on and not having that in there, you're not, I guess, using your full potential, maybe. I don't know, that's what I feel. I need to have it, you know. So being creative is a big thing for me.
I love that, because I find that sometimes even when your job is your passion, and you talked about the personal training side of it, and some elements will still be some things that you love. I think when you have a big creative streak, it's kind of fascinating how these days we can actually play with anything and create something out of nothing and add that creativity piece in a job or in tasks that maybe we don't feel like they have that streak. Because I understand that myself, is like when you are a creative person, you notice that because you're missing it when it's not there. Yeah. So I love what you did that with it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's so important. Like, you know, even to, like you say, when you're passionate about something, like even down to, I guess, personal training, you want to be creative in the way that you approach sessions for people. They want to be, you know, you want to have that kind of creativity in there. And I just think, for you guys as well, like that finding that kind of creativity and not having it in your life is a big, big thing, I guess, for you as well. You know, you must, you know, you need that. Absolutely. Like,
well, I find that for me is almost when I don't do it, and when I actually kind of looking at everything else, I realize that I miss it. And I wanted to ask you about this, because this is going to be a contentious question, so I'm going to go with an explanation for it. Yeah, she goes, I'm going to put my little contentious hat on. Because, for example, then, you know, a lot of these, the creative side all the time, are the little things or other things that can take us a bit more time. And then when things grow or they evolve, you know, time, there's a fine amount of time that we have in a day or in a week.
Definitely.
So this is about very loaded questions, so we're going to kind of riff on it in a few elements. But my first step is thinking, do you think you will come to a place where there's so much to do and there's so many elements that you want to grow, actually, let's say get kids moving, especially into, that you will have to outsource some of these things? Or are you already doing that and outsourcing some of the elements of that side of the brand, the business and your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. When things sort of take off, and you definitely, and obviously having a personal training job alongside, like I am making things in my break between clients. So I'm like, I see you next week. And then I'm like, right, just going to get this cape right. You know, so like, so it's so definitely stuff like that. But I love that side of it. But I have a business partner that's come in, actually used to be in my band a while ago. He is now a music manager, so he takes care of a lot of stuff for me, which is fantastic. And between us, it's a really good partnership, because it takes the load off me for certain things as well, which is really good. His name's Blair, by the way, Blair Treden. And also what was very apparent from the beginning is that every single superhero or Star Wars character was me. So there wasn't any female characters, and not because I chose not to, it's just because obviously I can't be dressing up like that. but we've got people in to be our actors and actresses through there doing. So we've got some Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Elsa from Frozen, got some Disney princesses and stuff like that. And it's really, I mean, that's, I think that itself has really grown the channel, because we've got such variety now as well for the kids and stuff like that. And there's so many more characters we can do as well. So it's become a real kind of, not just me in a cape, which, can get a bit boring, I guess, but you know. but for me I think it's getting help in that way. I think I'll always want to kind of be in control of like the outfits and things like that, mainly because I love that. But yeah, so I think I always want to have that. But I think probably like in the future, maybe the filming kind of side of it might, you know, getting some help with that as well, you know, finding time with that. It's hard for me to step away from things like this thing. When you, it's your thing, it's very difficult to be like, yeah, if you can do this for me as well, you know. But I have to realize that I haven't got enough time in the day sometimes.
But that's the reason why I asked you. And as I said, it was contentious. I mentioned it because it is, I think, in general, is a very interesting point. And there is a perception that you have to let go of a lot of elements in order to actually make more time, in order to scale and grow. And that's why I ask you, because I think it's a very individual choice to be, well, maybe I want to grow, but maybe let's say I want to grow in a sustainable rate, or I don't need to outsource everything, because actually part of the process is what I love. And I think there can be some misconceptions and almost pressure sometimes to be like, you need to make more time, you need to let go and outsource everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah, I think, and also there's a, I wouldn't say a pressure, but I want to make sure that I'm making enough content for the kids, you know, like on a regular basis, you know, because there's a lot that goes in to these sort of productions of each workout. I mean, not just the making the, you know, the costumes and stuff, but it is, you know, the filming it, the effects and stuff like that, and making it look as good as I can. I mean, my worst than best thing about me maybe is that I'm a massive perfectionist, and it may take me slightly longer to do things because I want it absolutely perfect. But yeah, so I think the process takes a while, but I want it to be the best it can be. But I think as it grows, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to make two of these workouts a week? You know, like, so it comes into that, and it's just really planning the time. Once you've made the outfits, you can tend to go in there and film a load of exercises and kind of make a few different workouts, then team up with other characters and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a lot of work, but I think it's always really difficult to step away as well and sort of get someone else to kind of do it as well, because I am maybe wanting to be completely in control.
I've been there.
How do you find that? I mean, you know, as you've grown and stuff like that, do you, because it was very much you when you were right at the beginning as well, everything like that, wasn't it? But you've got, you know, how did you find that?
A lot of resistance.
What, from yourself?
Well, myself, yeah, to actually let go of things. But then I think one of the biggest things for me has been remembering why I do what I do. There's two things. Why I do what I do, which I think is very important.
Definitely.
But also a reminder of what is in my zone of genius. Now I'm going to be shameless again. Mention my book, Reclaim Your Time Off, where I do talk about it.
Yeah,
I talk about understanding your zone of genius. So I know the things that I'm really good at, but also that I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thankfully, I've been managing people for long enough that I made a lot of mistakes that taught me how to manage people better.
Right.
So, you know, that's also been the thing of being like, being able to lay out everything and ask myself, is it a case of me delegating? Is it a case of me automating? Or is it a case of me simplifying in order to make things better for myself? But I've been doing this for 9 years. So,
Yeah. But like you say, making mistakes is the biggest thing of making you better at what you do as well, because you learn from it. I mean, I think because I've done this channel in the beginning completely on my own, and I think I find it sometimes difficult to let it go, I guess, in that way, you know. But I know that it's the right thing, absolutely, because I've seen the results of you know, from it as well, you know, going forward with the channel. I think the channel's grown and just got, for me personally, I think it's got better and better as it's improving each video as well, which is what the idea is, you know. But yeah,
talking about mistakes,
mm-hmm.
What is there a mistake that you can think of? I don't like necessarily the word mistake. I'm going to use challenge, because mm-hmm. I like it more. I think it's more encompassing. Is there a challenge that you've experienced, especially in the last couple of years? Because I feel there's been a very interesting, we're talking before we kind of got on air, like different ebbs and flows. And again, the surfer analogy again.
Yeah.
That you are glad you experienced something, a challenge, an obstacle, a mistake, whatever it is, that you're glad you experienced that taught you something when it comes to the process.
Oh God, that's a good question. I think it would be the time management thing for me. I think I am my own worst nightmare when it comes to doing too much and fitting too much into my week. And it used to, and to be honest, it was, you know, I think mentally for me, it was such a strain. And I think that I realized that after a long time of doing it, that it was really affecting my mental health and stuff as well. Like I just felt there was never enough time in the day, but I wasn't managing it properly. So it felt like I was always like, oh my God, I'm like trying to catch up with everything. I'm trying to do this. Why is there never, I think my catchphrase would have been at that point, like, why is there never enough time in the day? But there always was. It just, I never managed my time properly. And I even to a point where with my personal training clients, I was training probably 6 days a week, talking 4 days of it, and then doing this when I got home at kind of like 10 o'clock, doing editing up until midnight, getting up, going straight in for 7. And it was just like, you know, there's only one way that's going to go. and it did. And I learned from that. And now I've sort of given myself, like, you know, a couple of days off in the week, which is my content day. Both of them are my content days. And honestly, it's absolutely changed it for me. Like today, like a Monday for me, I sometimes have people in the evening to train, but actually the whole morning, afternoon is all about, right, what am I doing this week? Right, if I've got something to edit, I'll do a bit of editing on that. If I've got something to film, I'll do that. That'll be my filming day. And it has made the world of difference. So definitely for me, yeah, that was something I learned from earlier on, definitely. And it was great.
I love the idea of having little days for different things. And I have my Fridays, usually my content writing day. And that's where I went as far as, when I was writing the book, having it as a non-email day, and then I reverted back and now I'm coming back to it.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's also, it's a bit like, there's a lesson in there too. And it's like, it's okay, you know, you set a system for yourself, and then it's also like learning to be graceful with yourself when for any reasons, the system that you set up to do doesn't work for a bit, or you have to let it go and you have to kind of adapt to life. I think there's more pressure we can put on ourselves sometimes as perfectionists. Again, put myself
in. Yeah. That is, I think that's it. It's the pressure. No one else has given me that pressure. no one else is like, you know, my fiance's not in there going, come on, where's that video you said? Like, you know, it's all me. And I do it now. I'm not saying that I'm, oh yeah, now I've got those like two content days. I'm just like totally at ease with everything because I'm not. That would be an absolute lie. But it's amazing how it's just sectioning my week in that way. And just being organized. Organization for me is what I need to. And so, there's some days where I don't know if you get it yourself. Like, I'm great at to-do lists. They are my thing. To-do lists, if I don't have one written, I will not do those things. But there are days when I get up and I haven't written my to-do list. Everything goes out the window. I get bits done. I don't get it all done. So organization is absolutely the thing for me. And I need to stay on top of it, you know.
I'm going to tell you a little tip that listeners already know about because we talked about it twice. And also, again, I talked about it in the book as well, which is the idea of tracking what you've done. And it's what I call, I didn't copyright it in any way, shape or form, but I call it the done list, which is kind of obvious. But I always have a to-do list anyway because my brain is a bit of a sieve because of everything I do. So there is always a list with things, right?
Yeah.
But what I didn't have was a done list, which is usually I just have a notepad. Something is going to be coming, which is going to be quite exciting. That's going to help with that. But so far, I literally have a notepad that has got a blank page. I write the day and I write done list, and then I write everything I get done. I wanted to try it just for a day or two, this week or next week.
Yeah.
Just try it, see what happens. It helps you really looking at it. So the organizational pieces what you mentioned with the to-do list.
Yeah.
The done list brings time awareness and also it kind of helps you feeling more fulfilled because when your brain goes that fast, when you do so many things, it's really hard to quantify. I call it time dysmorphia in the book. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to quantify how much time you're spending on things or how many things you can get done. And you forget tasks that you do throughout the day. So I was
trying to try it. That's I like the sound of that.
Just for one day, just write down the things that you've done as soon as you've done them and see the difference. Then you have a better relationship with your to-do list as well as a result of it.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Okay. I'm absolutely going to try that.
Yay. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, now I have another question because we talked about challenges and obstacles and lessons in that way. Mm-hmm. What would you say from starting, let's use Get Kids Moving because of the project itself and having kind of taken such a big part into what you do, even if it is, as you say, on top of everything else.
Yeah.
What would it be the biggest other reward or the moment that made you feel like, again, I am making this impact, I am making a difference? Was there one moment that really meant something to you in the last couple of years that really got there? Or was it more, again, a feeling of the different things that you saw coming your way?
Again, I mean, I know I said it earlier. I think that the realization that my videos were beginning to be used in PE lessons. So I think I was getting tagged in things that were like, there was hundreds of kids with me on a big screen in their, like in their gym. And I was like, oh, that's okay. Right. Okay. And then it just kept on happening. And it was the realization that you were reaching, because it was also the global spread of it as well, like how it kind of like everyone was kind of because of and obviously because of lockdown happening as well, the kids were being sent our workouts for PE homework. So this was another thing as well. And again, even in people's homes, I was being contacted personally by people and the parents and saying, oh my God, like, you know, my kid, your videos are just saving us. Because also the parents are in, like, you know, what I also love about it is that they're kind of, yes, obviously they're made for kids, but they are also made for the whole family to get involved with it. Like, I think because it's so interactive, it's engaging, it's, you know, you're playing superheroes with your son or your daughter or something. And it's, I don't know, it's just when I started to see all that happen, it was just, oh God, I mean, there's just no other feeling like it. I mean, that sort of impact for me is why I do what I do. Absolutely that. And also just getting like, there's been a few, but there's been some really amazing emails from teachers and parents that I've been getting that there are some kids that were really struggling at school, really just not engaged with anything they were doing, and that, like I said earlier, they put the video on and then suddenly they're up and they've got a lightsaber in the hand and stuff, and it's just like, oh my God. And then the teacher was like, we could not get them to do anything beforehand, and it's just, yeah, for me that it's worth. I've got to tell you, actually, so I've done a Grinch. There is a Grinch Christmas workout up on YouTube right now, and that is possibly the hardest suit I've ever worn for a workout. It was so hot and itchy, with these like green furry legs and everything like that. It was pretty difficult. So what I was going to say is, it seeing all of that and all the impact makes wearing a Grinch outfit. Definitely worth it.
Grinch outfit. Now we're going to put in the show notes so that you can actually watch that video and
Yeah.
show a little support about
Yeah.
that as well. I was actually going to ask you about, I know it's hard, it's like picking like one of your children, but is there one workout, one of the workouts that you have up on the channel that means a lot to you, and which one would that be aside from the Grinch, obviously, and his furry suit?
Yeah. I guess it's the Star Wars ones for me, because when I grew up, I was, and I haven't grown up also, but I am still obsessed with Star Wars. So I'm a huge geek when it comes to stuff like that myself, which is why dressing up in what I do is amazing even now. But I grew up watching those films, from a very young age, and just love them. And I know that the Star Wars ones mean a lot, because I know if I had that around when I was little, in a PE class, I mean, to be training alongside like a Jedi as a young boy or a young girl, whatever, I just think it's like the most amazing thing, and I would have loved that. So when I then see, like I say, the kids with these foam noodles or the lightsabers and stuff doing it, just like halls full of them, I'm just like, oh, it's just. So the Star Wars ones for me are always, and it was kind of the first one I did as well. So they've got better and better as well with my sort of effects and stuff. But that, yeah, one of the first ones was definitely my favorite. Yeah.
And it's also that reminder of what you were saying before about reminding us how you can actually take a stab at something that is, the traditional way of learning, or again, for better or for worse, as you said, we were facing with finding creative ways to help our children to learn. And I think it's important to say when it comes to us being creative is also being creative to, as you said, make an impact on people and
Yeah.
maybe challenge some of the things that we believe. And I love that you mentioned about kids being, that maybe are either more erratic or maybe they don't like to stand, sit still and learn. And I
Yeah.
think it's, again, I was a, unsurprisingly, a perfectionist, but also was a bit of a geek myself. So I was able to, I could read for hours and that was fine, but not everybody's like that. And I think especially right now, we've come to realize that everybody learns in different ways, whatever we want
Yeah.
to teach them or whatever we want to
Yeah.
encourage them. And I think that's beautiful that you managed to bring attention to that in a fun and entertaining way as well.
Thank you. I mean, I think also, I think it's, I would say with our channel as well, I think that the workouts, we've not really made them instructional either. It's more of a sort of a press play and get to work and just and engage. It's sort of a, well, and again, because only because there's a lot of those, a lot of trainers and a lot of people on YouTube that have workouts that are like, right, okay, this is what you've got to do now. You've got to do this for this. And but what the especially through lockdown, we got a lot of messages from mums and dads saying that the kids, I wouldn't say preferred it to anything else, but found it a nice alternative because it didn't feel like they were had a teacher. In sort of, because I think sometimes, like, they might get sent homework from school that was still sort of being delivered by a teacher, but they found that our ones were like, oh, it's PE. Oh, brilliant. Press play. There's a Jedi, or there's Captain America with a shield. Like, I haven't got I've just got to follow him. And I think that was, it's quite nice to have that kind of different, an alternative to what was on YouTube at the time as well.
I love that. Well, thank you, Glenn. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. And, you know, the more we can spread the message like far and wide with what you are doing in general, I think it's so important as well. It doesn't just foster creativity, as I mentioned a few times. Yeah. It really reminds us of the things that we can do when we really want to make a difference. So thank you for that. I have the last question is the hardest question. So I lied to you when I said that.
You're saving it for me. Okay.
Of course. So Glenn, the question that we ask everyone, if you could have brunch with anyone dead or alive, who would this person be and why?
Oh my God. Right. Well, I mean, it probably won't surprise you, even. But okay, I personally would like to have lunch with George Lucas, who created Star Wars. Either that or Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. But one of the two is fine. And just to pick their brains about how they created the story, basically, would be for me. That's probably the geekiest answer you're ever going to hear. But it's what it is, you know.
Hey, we heard it all. We had over 100 episodes now, so don't you worry. It's not the geekiest one yet, but I love it. And again, it was on brand. That's what matters.
Exactly.
Glenn, if people want to find out more about you, can we remind them again where they can go?
So they can go to our YouTube channel, Get Kids Moving, where there is about, I think, getting on to 60 kids hero workouts now. So you can find us there. Or you can find me on Glenn Higgins Fitness on Instagram, or our Get Kids Moving Instagram as well. That's Get Kids Moving UK on Instagram. And yeah, so please, you know, have a go at our workouts, no matter how old you are. If you're into Star Wars or superheroes, there is no reason why you shouldn't be doing them as well. All right.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check our show notes for more juicy goodness about this episode. If you loved it, please take some time to give us 5 stars on iTunes. And make sure that you let us know your ha-has and takeaways on Instagram at creativeimpactco. Also, you can find out more about us on our website at creativeimpact.group.